Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
There may be many of you who remember the year 1968. I certainly do. And I think whenever it is I wind up dying, I hope that I look back on that as the most tumultuous year in my life, because I couldn't take one more tumultuous. My old friend Bill Natale has written a novel, it's a historical novel titled 1968: A Story as Relevant Today as It Was Yesterday. Bill is a legendary television producer and director in these parts. He now lives in Downers Grove, and that's where he is, all toasty and warm inside. Bill, it's quite a book. How are you?
Hi, Rick, and thank you for the compliment for 1968, a story as relevant today as it was then.
What compelled you? What was the seed of this book? Obviously, part of it, it's a novel, but it hews pretty closely, does it not, to your life?
Yeah, it's based on a true story. Two white teenage boys find themselves working in an all-black factory right after the Martin Luther King assassination.
Well, that's where the book begins. It begins with the April 4th assassination of Dr. King.
Correct. And that portion of the book, it's historical fiction, but that's to a T. It was my brother and I who we found ourselves working in the factory. We were the only two white people in the factory other than the owner. And fortunately for us, the foreman became a mentor for us, and we kind of got a sense that everything we've been hearing, from our elders and our relatives about blacks just wasn't quite true.
So, one of the things, Bill, that will haunt me about this book, and as I'm reading it, it is a book about race, but it is also a book that chills me, because I'm not sure that anything has gotten any better, that our misconceptions and white people's misconceptions and preconceptions of the African-American world, the division is even wider now, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, Rick. I mean, in the last couple of years, we've seen what's happened with Trayvon Martin being shot by George Zimmerman. We've seen what's happened with Black Lives Matter. Teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Eric Garner. We got Walter Scott, Freddie Gray, whose death sparked the 2015 Baltimore riots. Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old who died at the hands of, because he was black. Eric Harris. Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on, and things really haven't changed all that much. There is a fear that, between the races. And if you don't understand the other race, you're fearful. And sometimes things happen that have dire consequences.
No kidding. And I think one of the leitmotifs of your novel, 1968, is that one way in which to overcome not just the misconceptions, because the unknown breeds fear, and to get to know what is unknown will make that fear kind of vanish. The two young men in this book go through a kind of odyssey, don't they? They are taken around to neighborhoods they were fearful of, and they say, wow, whose house is that, right?
Right, right. I mean, they see Mr. Johnson's house, who Johnson Publishing, they mm-hmm. see Banks's place, and they're going, black people own those mansions, black people own those houses. I mean, they see the businesses like Ernie Banks Ford. And it just really, it's an eye-opening, awakening experience for them. They experience jazz in a black club. They experience soul food. They realize, hey, you know what? This is really, this is a great, group of people.
Well, and it's kind of, they start to realize, wait a minute, we're all human beings here.
Right. I mean, we're more alike than we are different.
No question.
We all like food. We can all share food. We love music. A lot of us love the Cubs. If you don't love the Cubs, maybe you love the White Sox, but you love sports. And that's even in the book, too, where the love of the Cubs.
Yeah.
Ernie Banks and Willie Mays are figures in the book. And, And they have elders who have this fear, and so the only blacks that are good blacks are blacks like Nat King Cole or Ernie Banks.
Exactly, who are the acceptable blacks. You really did pick an amazing year. That was not just the year of the Tet Offensive and the Pueblo thing. That's when LBJ said he wasn't going to run. Mm-hmm. And it's Martin Luther King, and then it's Bobby Kennedy, and it's the Democratic mm-hmm. convention here. Was there a catalyst for you, Bill Natale? Was there some moment or some person that said, you might have been telling a story, let's say, for instance, about your experiences, and someone said, hey, you should write a book about that.
That actually happened. I was at WTTW, and you know that because
sure.
I used to talk
all the time
about programming because you were the TV critic.
That's right.
And one of the tasks that was given to me was to try to get the work with the Archdiocese to get the Mass back on the air at mm-hmm. WTTW. And I had lunch with Father Andrew Greeley.
Oh, what a great guy! Not just a cool priest, but a great novelist too.
Absolutely. And Joel Laughlin, who used to be the general manager
sure.
at MTV, he set it up. And we went to lunch, and I told Father Greeley this story. And he said, young man, of course I was a lot younger then.
Weren't we all, Bill? Weren't we all?
And he said, you should write that. You should write that story. So, many years later, after, three kids and,
and working at virtually every station in Chicago as a producer and director, right? Did you miss any stations here?
The only one I've never gotten a check from is Channel 38, and I think that's probably because I'm not sure if I was religious enough.
Yeah. They said, we're not paying you for your work. You're not religious enough. Yeah. But you wrote a children's book. When did you write the children's book?
I wrote the children's book in 2000. I actually, what happened on that was, Paul and Angel Harvey, I used to work for them.
Nice people.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of public relations work for them. And what happened was I did a favor for Angel, and which was to help produce a CD by their son, Paul Arant.
Sure.
He used to write the rest of the story, And Paul Harvey Jr. Anyway, she said, is there anything? And I said, well, I've got this children's book, but, And she goes, well, send it to me. I did, and the next thing I knew that they had a publishing arm, which I didn't know.
And yes, they did.
Got published, and what happened was that 15,000 copies got printed. They went into all the museum bookstores, and they sold. And it was funny because my daughter called me. She's a teacher with CPS, called me about a week ago and said, hey, Dad, I got two kids who'd like you to sign the book. And I thought she meant this book.
Yeah, they're still selling. That's great, Bill. I'm on the air with Bill Natale, whose latest book, and I hope there are more, is 1968, A Story as Relevant Today as It Was Then, and a subtitle is, I have not read a truer subtitle. We've got to take a little break, and we'll come back and keep talking about the sort of odyssey that these two young kids, teenagers, go on in the year 1968, and it really, I think, changes them forever. Their eyes are open, so we'll be right back. Bill Natale, my guest and my old friend and a distinguished television director, producer, has written a compelling novel set in Chicago called 1968, and I know for any of you who lived that year, it was a year after Riverview closed, but it was a year that was filled with all manner of excitement, both good and bad. Bill, the journey that these two young men take is a journey not only of self-discovery, but of discovering the place they live, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It is an opportunity for them to really, truly get a glimpse of Chicago, in which they've never seen it before. Not only the West Side, where the factories are working, and of course they see a lot of the burned out West Side, but also the South Side, which frankly they've never been to the South Side.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
This must have been for you not only, but it must have been a little emotionally tough for you to write this book, because it's a very truthful novel that doesn't skimp on emotional reactions at all. Was it hard or was it joyful for you?
Well, it was joyful, but I have heard from some of my siblings and some of my relatives that are still around. Hey, you were pretty tough on some of the characters
in
the
book,
and I said, well, I wanted to present an honest picture of what was going on. In the book, you have a father who is a battalion chief, and and some of this is fictionalized in terms of...
Of course, because your dad wasn't a battalion chief. He was a fire...
No, my dad was a battalion chief.
He was.
The 5th Battalion. Matter of fact, I got to know Irv Kupfman actually through my father.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I knew he was a firefighter. Now I'm even more impressed he was a battalion chief.
He was a battalion chief. And the thing about it was, he was shot at, all that was in the book. That's all true. That all happened to him. So, I have to be somewhat of the mind that when things happen to people, I can't be judging them because
right.
I did it through that. So,
of course.
And they developed certain attitudes, and it wasn't there. But one of the WGN people at WGN, Paula Getty, an African American, actually helped me, in terms of, understanding, formulating things, coming up with concepts regarding the story itself. So that was helpful.
Because
I think you have the thing about the book is it tells the story even of April 4th.
Right.
From the point of a white family watching the news.
Sure.
And watching that same news get Walter Cronkite and different reactions. So.
Yeah. You must be pleased. You got another novel in you, Bill?
I do. I actually started writing another one, and then I realized I might have two. So there's one that I'm writing right now, which is based on a true case.
Yeah,
it deals with the Department of Justice, and it deals with a doctor, and then there's another one that, frankly, is probably won't be a book, but I hope it'll be a short story, and that is a story which I wound up spending 72 hours with Fred Rogers.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely, sort of made my skin crawl, although my daughter, Renee, God bless her.
He made your skin crawl.
Every,
Mr. Rogers.
Every morning, but it's about Mr. Rogers, the 72 hours they spent, and also it deals with my daughter, who was only 8 at the time.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something.
She's lying with Mr. Rogers.
I will tell you something. I mean, I knew you simply as a very, very, very talented television director, producer, publicist. And on that level, it's always great. It's a revelation to me to see what a fine, fine writer you are. The book, ladies and gentlemen, is 1968. The author is Bill Natale, Natale, which is Italian for Christmas, is it not, Bill?
It is.
Well, Mary, Mary, and I hope the book sells like crazy. It's a brave book, and I think anybody who is looking for answers to the world in which we live would find some in this book. It's a great job, Bill. I hope to see you one day soon.
Oh, I hope so, too, and thank you so much.
Oh, no, my pleasure. It was a real revelation and really something... something very, very moving, moving and chilling, and also, quite humorous at levels, just like life, Bill, just like life. So you take care of your sweet self, and Merry Christmas.
Buon Natale to you.
Buon Natale.